Welcome to the podcast of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta, where we are committed to changing lives with faith, hope, and love. We're so glad you are here.
Some years ago, I was a camp counselor at Camp Cherokee, which was a church camp the churches in our presbytery organized up on Lake Allatoona. My sister and I grew up going to that camp. When we were old enough, we both became counselors. Every week of camp, there'd be a different preacher who would lead the evening's worship services for all the young campers. And one of their sermons comes to mind, and thinking about this passage of scripture from the Gospel of Luke, where Mary reacts to the news that she will become the mother of our Savior. This preacher up at Camp Cherokee, he didn't beat around the bush. He had something that he wanted to say, and he was going to say it, whether or not it was appropriate for young ears. He was really focused on the Lord's crucifixion. And he said, Did you know, children, that after the Lord was betrayed, he was arrested? But the Roman soldiers weren't kind to our Lord. No, they whipped him. They whipped him and whipped him within an inch of his life. They whipped him, but it wasn't quite enough to kill him. So after they whipped him, they put this awful crown of thorns upon his head so that blood was dripping down the sides of his face. But that wasn't quite enough to kill him either, children, since he was still within an inch of his life. They took these great big rusty nails. They took these big rusty nails and they nailed him to a wooden cross. Only it wasn't the rusty nails that killed him either, children. Do you know what it finally was that killed him? And I could hear it from the back of the group, just a whisper from a boy of 8 or 9. Was it tetanus that killed him? I love that story. The preacher is trying to make one point, but a young boy speaks up to make another. And in that moment, one sermon gave way to an experience that brings me joy every time I remember it. That's one place that joy comes from, isn't it? This Sunday is the third Sunday in the season of Advent, and so we light the third Advent candle, the candle of joy. It's particularly appropriate that the Foster family lit the joy candle because that was Natalie Foster's mother's name. And so today we celebrate joy, but think with me about where joy comes from. Don't we often find joy in the unexpected? Don't you see joy when the daily grind blooms in surprises? That's how it is sometimes, because sometimes when everything goes according to plan, life becomes boring and monotonous, and sometimes when everything goes wrong, it ends up going exactly right. Sometimes the best laid schemes of mice and men fall apart, and what gives way are stories truly worth telling and remembering. The best Christmas movies are all like that. Think about Home Alone. In that movie, Home Alone, in one sense, everything goes absolutely wrong. What could be worse than forgetting your child at home when flying to Paris? That's what happens to the main character, Kevin, who is no older than the little camper in my story, and yet he's left all alone at Christmas to fend for himself. At first, it's an exciting adventure for young Kevin. For his mother, it's absolutely her worst nightmare, but what starts off in a nightmare turns into little Kevin learning to value his family. A lesson is learned because they forgot him and left him at home all by himself. Now that wasn't a well-executed family trip, yet something so good came out of it. Joy surprises us. In the same way, think about how the Grinch stole Christmas. No one hopes to have their tree stolen by a broken-hearted man covered in green fur. But when the Who's down in Whoville find that everything is gone on Christmas morning, what do? They sing. Then there's our family favorite, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. We watched it last weekend, and our daughters couldn't believe how their parents laughed at all these jokes that they deemed to be incredibly inappropriate. Yet the movie is hilarious. It's hilarious how Clark Griswold works and works and works to enhance everyone's Christmas cheer, yet nothing goes right. The turkey is dry. One lady wraps up her cat as a Christmas present. Snot the dog gags on a bone from under the table, and Cousin Eddie empties the you-know-what into the storm drain, for despite all our hard work, sometimes it appears as though all we're going to get for Christmas is a subscription to the Jelly of the Month Club, or worse. This has been a challenging year. In some ways, it's been a nightmare of a year. Have you seen the 2020-themed Christmas ornaments? We have special commemorative ornaments on our tree at home that represent these different milestones. The 2002 ornament that we got from Sarah's mom has wedding bells on it because that was our first Christmas together as husband and wife. Sarah's mom also gave us new baby ornaments for 2009 and 2011, which were our daughter's first Christmases. But have you seen the 2020 commemorative ornaments? One I saw has Santa with a mask. Another I saw is a garbage dumpster on fire. I just designed myself another one for the Fosters because little Harry, their four-year-old, he got his head stuck in the banisters of their staircase. John made the mistake of sending me a picture, which I've sent off to a company to turn into a glass ornament, so they'll always remember the Christmas where everything seemed to go wrong. The Grinch would say that this year stunk. But if we look to Mary, then comes the reminder that among all our shattered expectations is the promise of God. We know her song well. It's been sung and sung again and again. We call it the Magnificat. But consider the context she sang that song in. She had just been told by an angel that she would become the mother of the Savior. But what child is this? Being pregnant wasn't part of her plan. She wasn't even married. Do you think she grew up dreaming of the year she'd become an unwed teenage mother? Do you think she was hoping to be the subject of whisper and rumor, a stress on her poor mother and a shame on her father? That Christmas so long ago was anything going according to how she envisioned it? No. But consider how when all her plans went up in smoke, she sings because Mary sees something larger than life unfolding before her. She feels promise growing from within her womb. She knew that in her life, a dream was becoming a reality, a bright future that she could not have imagined. Only for it to be realized, she must accept that Christmas can no longer be about her plans. What we hear in her song is that faithful Mary knew that this Christmas must be about God's plans and not our own. So rather than sing a sad lamentation as everything she wrote down in her wedding book planner went up in flames, Mary rejoices, for she knows that sometimes God makes a mockery of our best laid plans to give us a gift that's even better. That's what happens in all the best Christmas movies. Do you remember how Cousin Eddie kidnaps Clark's boss and brings him hog-tied back to Clark's house while still in his bathrobe? Now the Griswolds are truly in the midst of a disaster. Clark has basically ruined everything in his attempt to hold it all together. Only it's getting worse because the SWAT team is getting ready to capture the kidnapper, and Clark has to prepare himself to spend the rest of Christmas in jail. Just think about what's going on. All of this is falling apart. Things are going very bad when suddenly the boss can see that not giving his employees their Christmas bonus was a mistake. Everything is falling apart, but somehow in the midst of all the chaos, he is busy recognizing what really matters. Clark's boss is facing the uncomfortable truth about himself and wrestling with what he should have done all along but didn't, and what he can do next, which might put all things right again. That's what he sees. As his world is turned upside down, he's seeing while at the mercy of a kind-hearted doofus. But through this unexpected Christmas Eve, this powerful corporate mogul discovers what Christmas really is. The mess has to happen in order for the proud to be reborn. That's another reason we love Mary's song. We love to hear it because it's beautiful. Only it's not holly jolly, radio ready Christmas fluff. It's justice, righteousness, and joy springing forth from ashes. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud and the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones. Are we ready for that? Are our eyes open to the promise of those words? They may as well be, because we're in the midst of it, aren't we? This year we can't gather for Christmas Eve services as we always have as a church. I'm the most disappointed that we can't have our family service. But that doesn't mean families aren't gathering here. In fact, 350 families are lining up in our parking lot every Monday to receive a box from the Atlanta Food Bank containing 5 complete meals. For some reason, the Atlanta Food Bank gave us boxes and boxes of garlic last Monday. Thank goodness no one brought all that garlic inside the church or we'd still be smelling it, but that's hardly the point. The point is that there is such a profound need in our community. But had we all been rushing around like always, I don't know if I would have even seen it. Whereas this year, the unemployed and underemployed are impossible for me to ignore. My eyes are open, though my plans are falling apart. We all want Christmas to be perfect according to tradition, according to our best laid plans, but this year is full of interruption. Some of us will have to adapt to new ways of doing things. Some of us will be by ourselves this Christmas, which I hate. But consider this. Every Christmas, some people are alone on Christmas Day. We just don't always have to think about them. Now that we are thinking about them, hear the invitation from Mary to do something about it. But that's what Christmas really is. And Home Alone, it took having a nightmare Christmas to discover the miracle of family that they had all been taking for granted. And how the Grinch stole Christmas, it took stealing Christmas for him to see what it was really all about. In Christmas Vacation, Clark's plans must go up in flame for him to erupt in joy as his boss's hardened heart is changed, finally seeing his employees as people. This year, we must all think about Christmas differently and inspired by Mary's song. We faithful people must imagine how that can be good. For we sing, "What child is this?" And the answer is, he's the one who comes to change everything. So take this year of change as an opportunity to value what you've always taken for granted, to celebrate what's become tired routine, to find joy in the unexpected. And may Christ's peace rise from the ashes of your best laid plans. For he is coming. But he comes to change the world and to make all things new. Amen.
This podcast is a ministry of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta. Come join us Sundays at 189 Church Street, Marietta, Georgia, or visit us online at fpcmarietta.org.